Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Blessed Trinity. God, we praise you this morning. We lift up the name that is above all other names. Let's sing that out, church. Sing holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Man hath fallen from thee. Through the blood of Christ thy Son, this soul can be redeemed. Justice, truth, and mercy join with love to crown thee, Savior of sinners. Soon
Father God, we celebrate now in this moment as we look back over the last year. Some of us have suffered loss. All of us have faced some setbacks in one way or another. But Father, when I look at the collective body of Christ and think back over the past 12 months, to this first Sunday when we were online only a year ago, not knowing what the future held, to here we are today, back gathered again. Father, we're thankful for your goodness and your grace. And Father, we're thankful that you have been at work this entire year. In joy, in sorrow, in areas of great success and in areas of difficult loss. Father, we thank you that you have always been the one who offered grace and mercy in those moments. Father, as we look to Palm Sunday, as we look to Easter Sunday, the next 2 weeks, Lord, may we be reminded of the incredible salvation you brought us, but what it cost your Son. May we be reminded of the incredible liberty that's been provided to us, the freedom we have because of the empty grave. And Lord, may we purpose in our hearts to invite friends to celebrate you with us. And Lord, I pray as we come to the end of our message series, A Wiki Faith, that we would be reminded as we've talked about making disciples, Lord, these are all just words if we do not put them into practice. So God, may I be the first to say, based off of the scripture we've studied together over the last 9 weeks, Lord, I've decided to follow after you as a disciple maker. I've decided to follow after you as one who wants to invest in other people. Lord, I pray the same for every person in this room. Lord, we'll sing that to you now. Would you lift this as a prayer with your heads bowed and eyes closed? You'll know the song. If not, the words will be overhead if you need to look. Let this be your prayer as we begin our message this morning.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Let's sing that one more time. Lift it up, I've decided.
I have decided.
Let this be your prayer.
To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Father God, may that be our prayer. May we all put our yes on the table. As you are sending us today, as we will see in the message, Lord, may we put our yes on the table. Wherever you lead, we'll go. We've decided to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will. If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 20. You can use your app on your phone or tablet or your print Bible, whatever you have. We'll also have it overhead on the screens and online if you do not have a copy of God's Word. If you don't own one, we'd love to provide one for you. So you can contact us and we'll be glad to give you a copy of the Word of God. So we are finishing out our series entitled Wiki Faith. That word wiki sounds like a pretty evil word, but it's not. The word wiki is a Hawaiian word. It means fast or many, M-A-N-Y. And the idea is that our faith was designed to be fast, growing, because everyone, the many, has a part to play in it. It was never intended that a pastor would disciple everyone. It was intended that we all together make disciples of men and women. So that is our desire today. A quick recap of where we've been. Disciples, week one, are followers of Jesus. Week two, disciples fish for men. Week three, disciples are friends of sinners. Week four, disciples live in fellowship with Jesus and others. Week five, disciples are founded on God's word. Week six, disciples fight for unity. Week seven, disciples focus their mind on the mission. Week eight, last week, disciples are faithful in ministry. And for those of you that are really OCD like me, I thought about changing the letter from an F this week, but I knew it would ruin your day, so I didn't. So we're going to stick together with the last one. Disciples move forward in their faith. That's what you and I are called to do, to move forward in our faith. From that very first Resurrection Sunday, some 2,000 years ago, to today, we are called to move forward. Look at John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. It says, on the evening of that day, what's that day? That's the day Jesus came back to life. This was Resurrection Sunday, what we would call Easter Sunday, right here on the very evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." He gave them a standard greeting. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so, I'm sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now that's an amazing passage, but on that very first resurrection day, Jesus said, just like God the Father sent me to you, I'm now sending you to the world. And here's what I know. There have been right at a little over 100,000 Sundays since that first Resurrection Sunday. And even though there have been 100,000 Sundays from that day to this one, the mandate is still the same. The same mandate from that Resurrection Sunday is the same mandate on this first Sunday of spring of 2021. And that is this: even as God sent Jesus, Jesus says, "I am sending you." Now, I love facts and minutiae and information and statistics. Lily would say useless information, but I like things like just to know and figure things out. So here's what I discovered as I thought about the fact that it had been 100,000 Sundays since Jesus was resurrected, or approximately 100,000. I had to add up my own life. I have been alive for almost 2,600 Sundays. In 4 weeks, it'll be about 2,600 Sundays. I have been the pastor of this church for exactly 518 Sundays. I figured that up. I have been in vocational ministry for a little over 1,600 Sundays. Now, I realize that seems useless to you, but somehow in my mind, that helps me to have a little different perspective around the fact that Jesus was resurrected 100,000 Sundays ago. I've been alive 2,600 of those. To me, it doesn't seem that far away. And to know that the first idea of the first post-resurrection mandate is still what he's saying to me. It's still what he's saying to you. And here it is again. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. So here's what Jesus did in this passage. Three things really fast. Number one, he called, he empowered, and he sent the first disciples. Jesus called, he empowered, and he sent the first disciples. And here's what I would say to you and me today. He is still calling. He is still empowering. And he is still sending disciples today. The same way, the same mandate, the same calling 100,000 weeks later. So let's look at it individually. First of all, he revealed himself. He called them to him by revealing himself. Look at verse 19 again. It says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Now, other gospel accounts, eyewitness accounts in the gospels say that he appeared out of nowhere. There was no door open for him. He just appeared. So Jesus appeared among them. He revealed himself to them. And then he said, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus shows them his scars. They knew it was him. He revealed himself to them. Here's what we know. Jesus showed up in the room and he showed up in their lives. He revealed himself. He called them to himself. I want you to understand in your life, Jesus showed up in your room. He showed up in your life. He's revealed himself to you and he has called you to him. If you know Jesus, if you have a relationship with Jesus, it's because he called you. It's because he revealed himself to you. The scripture says nobody seeks after God. The truth is that God reveals himself to us, and his desire is that mankind would come to know him. So he called them. The second thing he does for them is he empowers them. Look at verse 22. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness of any, it is withheld. What does this mean? What he is saying is he gave to them the person of the Holy Spirit in their lives so that they could walk and be empowered to live for him. You and I, now that we have been born since this time, when we give our lives to Jesus, when we receive him, we are sealed in salvation by the Holy Spirit. We are immediately empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit still brings power to your life and to mine, but he does it in so many ways. I have a handout for you today. If you're in the room, it's on the table with the black tablecloth right outside the door about all the ways the Holy Spirit moves and works in your life. We're also going to text that out to our entire church family at 2:00 today. You'll get a link to that. So you don't have to take notes for what I'm about to say, but I want you to know that the scripture is chalked full of places and examples where it says the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, not just in the apostles' life, not just in somebody else's life. The Holy Spirit does these things in you and in me here 2,000 years later. He's still doing this. Listen to some of these things. This is what the Holy Spirit does for you. He brings about our adoption as God's children, Romans chapter 8. If you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit drew you to him. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, John 16. People are convicted because the Holy Spirit brings about that conviction. He guides us into all truth, John 16. Listen, if anything you know that's true, the Holy Spirit guides you to that. Acts chapter 9, he comforts us. Have you been comforted in a time when you should not have been comforted, when there's no way on earth you would feel comfortable, when there was nothing that could be given to you in that regard, nothing that made sense in this world that would make you feel better, but you felt better because of the Holy Spirit? He comforts you. He teaches us, 1 Corinthians 2. He gives joy to us, 1 Thessalonians 1. He empowers us, Luke chapter 24. He fills us, Ephesians 5, 18. He produces the fruit of his work in our lives. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, goodness. He produces that fruit in you. The Holy Spirit does it. You couldn't grow goodness if you wanted to. I couldn't grow patience if I wanted to. My kids would say amen to that. It all comes as a product of the Holy Spirit at work in us. He distributes spiritual gifts in our lives. You, if you're a believer in Jesus, you have a supernatural ability given to you by the Holy Spirit to bless the body of Christ and to point others to Jesus. I don't know what yours is. It's probably more than one gift, but it comes from the Holy Spirit. He anoints us for ministry, Luke 4. He renews us, Titus chapter 3. He is our guarantee and deposit of a future resurrection, it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 5. What does that mean? When you're saved, the day you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit acts as a deposit, guaranteeing the fact that someday you will be in heaven with God forever. That's awesome. I mean, that is awesome.
I could go on and on. I'm not, for time's sake, I'll skip on down to the last few, but there's many more on this handout for you that you can study through this week. Let me read you a few more. He enables some people to preach the gospel, 1 Peter 1. He casts out demons, Matthew 12. He brings things to our memory, John chapter 14. He regenerates us, John chapter 3. He glorifies and testifies of Jesus, John 15. He leads us, you and me, Romans 8, Galatians 5. He sanctifies us, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Peter in Romans 5, and then he intercedes for us and helps us in our weakness. Listen, when you're struggling, when you're weak, when you don't know what to pray, when all you can get out is a tear or a moan, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. And on and on and on. The Holy Spirit empowers you. So, Jesus empowered these disciples by the Holy Spirit. He does for us as well. He called them. He empowered them, and then lastly, he sent them. Look at verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Even so I am sending you." So a few quick questions this morning. The first question is this: where was Jesus sending them? Where was Jesus sending these disciples? He was sending them to those lost in sin. He was sending them to those lost in religion, and he was sending them to those lost in hope. He was also sending them to encourage other believers, and he was sending them to build up local bodies of believers. They were spread out all over the place. They were encouragers. They were builders. They helped make those things happen. Now, how is it? This first question is, where were they being sent? The second one is this: how is it that we live sent? How do you do it? How do I do it? Well, here's what I would say to you. A sent life is an active life. It's not passive. No one is passively a disciple maker. You don't just sit back and make disciples. You do it actively. We do it on purpose. And here's what I would say to you. Let me read what I wrote down. You were saved to be sent. So don't settle just to sit. You have heard me say over the last decade of ministry here in this church more than once that sitting in a pew is not a spiritual gift. It's not. No one has ever looked at you and said, "I just want you to know you sit so well." Wouldn't that be? No one's ever said that to you. No one's ever said that to you. In fact, we don't say that to people. That would be strange. You know who you say it to? Babies. When a baby sits up for the first time, you say, "Oh, look at that baby sitting up the first time." If, lean to the person next to you and say, "Oh, you're sitting up so sweet," like that. See what happens. That's not, it doesn't work. Why? Because we've matured on past that. We've moved on. And the reality is, from the day you gave your life to Jesus, we were called to do more than sit. We were called to be sent. That is what God has called us to do. Stagnant water leads to sickness. You've ever seen some stagnant water? Don't drink it. You'll be sick for sure. But flowing water gives life. You were sent to the mission of God. So where did they go? They went to people. They shared truth with people. They encouraged people. They prayed with and for people. We've said that a few times over the last 2 or 3 weeks. We were building to this point that that's what a disciple does. A disciple goes to people. A disciple shares truth with people. A disciple encourages people. And a disciple prays with and for people. So let me ask you a serious question this morning. Where is God sending you? To whom is God sending you? Where is he sending you? To whom? I have no clue. I couldn't begin to answer that question for you. But wherever it is, he is already there at work. To whomever it is, the Holy Spirit is already there, ready to convict, to encourage, to grow, to help. God is sending his disciples all over this city. Let me explain it to you through this illustration, maybe. So, if there was a conversation happening in heaven right now and an angel said to Jesus, "Jesus, holy Jesus, would you take a second and just look down there at your church in Albertville? Look at the church in Albertville." What most of us would assume he would be looking at would be something like this, kind of a bird's eye view. You get a little bit of Albertville. You got First Baptist Church right here. There we are. North Broad Street Church of Christ, Albertville First United Methodist Church, Albertville Worship Center, Christ Episcopal Church, Baltimore Avenue Church of God, on and on. You could see the different churches. And we somehow would think that if we were to say to Jesus in heaven, would you look at your church in Albertville, this is what he would see. That is not what he would see. That's not what he would be looking at. If we were to say to Jesus, look at your church in Albertville, this is what he would see. What he would see are believers all across our city in their homes, in restaurants, in grocery stores, in the workplace, at the ball field. We would see them in schools. We would see them at the traffic light. We'd pray for yourself there on 431. Wherever it would be, you would find yourself as a disciple living your life. This is the church. The church is not a building. Now, I know we say things like, and I did this morning on social media. I said, you know, I would invite people to come worship with us at our church, Albertville First Baptist Church. The more proper thing would be to say, would you come worship with us in the facility that houses some of the people of First Baptist Church on a regular basis? Because we're the, but that sounds weird, so I don't say, I just say come to church. You understand. But what I would say to you is this, the church is not a place that you go to. You don't go to church, you are the church. Somebody say amen. You are the church. Look to the person next to you and say, I'm the church. Okay, see, you thought I was going to say, you are the church. We are the church. So being sent is not about Sunday mornings. In fact, if you look at John chapter 20, and we try to relate it to us today, this room, this would be the upper room. This is the place where God reveals himself, where God does his work, and where God sends us out. It's just a building. The upper room was not the big deal of John 20. It was the fact that Jesus says, just as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. That's the church. We are sent. We are a sent people. So making disciples includes lost people, pre-believers, and includes saved people. Making disciples includes going to stagnant believers and to growing believers. Making disciples includes religious consumers, and spiritual contributors. Making disciples includes everyone you come in contact with. Jesus has called you, he has empowered you, and he is sending you. So the last question is this, what is he sending you to do? Here we are, 9 weeks later in this series, and he's still sending us to make disciples, all of us. Let's go back to our first illustration from week one. If you were here for week one, hopefully you'll remember this. If not, I'll just quickly share it with you. In 2001, Larry Sanger and another gentleman started a website called Wikipedia. The word wiki, again, fast or many, pedia. It was an online encyclopedia. They started it, and I want you to know that before this month is over, March of 2021, over 1.7 billion with a B unique people will visit that one website. That's unheard of. There's only 7 billion people on the planet. 1.7 of them will visit one website this month, Wikipedia. But when they started it, it was not Wikipedia, it was Newpedia, N-U-pedia. Only experts and scholars could submit articles in 2000 when they started the website. Only the best of the best and ones who had the full knowledge could do so, ones who understood everything about a subject. And so it went through rigorous testing, and after 2 years of Newpedia's existence, only 17 articles were published, and only 74 were even in review. It was a failure before it started. But a year later in 2001, when they started Wikipedia, they said, let's make this an encyclopedia for and by the people. Anyone, from a teenager to an adult, from a housewife to someone who is a nuclear engineer. Anyone from a lawyer to someone who works construction to everything in between in every shape, form, or fashion. Those that are using their hands for their daily work. Those that are using only their minds for their daily work. Those that use their voices for their daily work. From singers to actors to everyone. Let's let anybody submit truthful articles, and we'll have to review them to make sure we can get them accurate, but let's put everyone into the business of making a difference. Wiki, fast, many. And so sure enough, after 1 year, 20,000 articles were published. And now, this month, over 55 million different articles exist in multiple languages on Wikipedia website. Yet somehow the Church of Jesus Christ has operated not with wiki faith, but with new faith. We rely on the experts, quote unquote, people with the right degrees, the right circumstance, the right calling. And we somehow feel like they're the ones that have to do all of the hard stuff. In fact, we even teach certain ways this way. We'll have a major push for you to invite your friends to come on Easter Sunday. Why? It's a great time to hear the gospel, but that's antithetical to the idea of what the gospel's about. Do invite them, and we do want them to come and hear it. But the reality is it's not so much about you inviting someone to come hear the gospel. It's about you going and sharing the gospel. That's what it means to have wiki faith. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. It's you and I living out the calling. We, together, are the spiritual experts. You say, how am I an expert? You are living out your faith. You are an expert on what God has done, is doing, and will do in your life. He's empowered you, he's called you, and he's sending you. So you are God's man or woman on the scene in your school. You are God's man or woman on the scene in that home where you're caring for people. You are God's man or woman on the scene in whatever tragedy you come upon next, whatever circumstance you find yourself in. God is calling us. So, how do we literally make this happen? It's the same things we've said for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I'll share them with you really quickly. Here's some simple steps that you can say, God, I'll do what you say. You're sending me. Here's what I'll do. Number one, find somebody to walk with. Find someone to walk with in person if possible, but if not, do it online or by phone. Listen, don't let your age or your health status stop you from walking through life with someone. There is no reason to be stopped in 2021. You can connect with someone in some shape, form, or fashion. So find somebody to walk with. That can be people who already know Jesus. That can be people who do not know Jesus. It doesn't matter because everyone, all of us, are discipling each other. So we find someone to walk with. Second, share truth with them. It's just that simple. Share truth from God's word with them. God's word is truth. It tells us in John 17, Jesus says, God, would you sanctify them, the disciples, and those who would follow us, sanctify them by your truth. We studied that a few weeks ago, that God makes us more like him by the truth of his word. So find someone to walk with. Share some truth with them. Be willing to share God's word with them. Let them share God's word with you. What does that look like? Find someone that you can just read God's word with. Find someone you can explain God's word to and they can explain it to you. Study God's word together. If you need help with some resources to study God's word, there's a place on your worship tear-off you can check that you want the study resources. We will send you those. Just put your name there and check that box. We'll get them to you. Some very good study resources, how you can study personally if you'll apply them, God's word. So find someone to walk with. Share truth with somebody. Third, pray with and for that person. Pray for them and pray with them. Now, it's one thing to say, well, I pray for my friends already. I mean, get with them face to face or on the phone and say, I'm going to pray for you right now by praying with you right now. Pray together. That's part of disciple making. Dr. Alan Atkins is a pastor of the fellowship here in Albertville. And I listened to a message of his this last week. I like to listen to different pastors and what they're sharing and preaching and support our pastors here in our area. And I was listening to one of his messages this week on prayer. And he made a statement that I just loved. And I want to share it with you. This is what he said. He said, prayer is not something you do. Prayer is someone you talk to. I love that. Let me say it again. Prayer is not something you do. Prayer is someone you talk to. It's not just an action. It's a relationship, a communication. And so I would encourage you, when it comes to praying for people and with people, let that bring the relationship of the Lord in with that. Bring him in the middle of that. So find someone to walk with, share truth with them, pray for them, pray with them, and then lastly, encourage them. Be an encourager. Now, I have to tell you, sometimes encouragement looks like accountability. Sometimes hard conversations, that are full of God's truth and seasoned with God's grace have to happen. That is part of encouraging. But sometimes encouragement just looks like a Holy Spirit pep rally, where you're literally just encouraging them. Whatever the case may be, realize that true discipleship always leads to encouraging someone to the God life, what God's called them to. So would you make a renewed commitment to those things today? Would you think of someone you can say, would you meet with me? And you say, well, what is the next step? Here's the next step. Pray and ask God, who am I to disciple and who am I to ask to disciple me? And then take the next step and pray for them, then ask them when you can begin. And then start right away. I would encourage you to find this simple plan. Find two or three, maybe four people, not much more than four. The model is there biblically to do three to four. Find three to four people that you can walk with. Three or four people you can share truth together with. Three or four people you can pray for and pray with. And three or four people you can encourage. Now, friends, you can overcomplicate what discipleship is, but that's it. That's disciple making. You make disciples of them. If they know Jesus, they're making a disciple of you. And the ones in that group that do not know Jesus, listen, that's all what it's about. Jesus said, I am sending you. So will you commit to be a part of that? Would you bow your heads with me? Just for a little moment of privacy with our heads bowed and eyes closed. What about you? We started this message with the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And now we will end this entire series with that same commitment song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. So can I ask you? The question is, will you make disciples? And the answer will either be, yes, I will follow Jesus because he was the model, or no, I'll settle for having Jesus but not following Jesus. That's pretty blunt and bold. But I'm going to say it again. The question is, will you make disciples? And the answer is either yes, I will follow Jesus and make disciples, or no, I'll just settle for having Jesus but not making disciples. Friends, I got to tell you, the last few months when God's been working on my heart with this, it's been a great reminder to me that I want to confess something to you with your heads bowed and eyes closed. As a pastor, and I shared this with a group of about 30 pastors last Monday night. As a pastor, sometimes we are the worst disciple makers. Now, we'll get up and preach and teach and encourage and equip a crowd, but we can get so busy trying to lead the church and do the work of the church and organize and implement that the reality is, we can become so insulated ourselves from the idea of making disciples personally. So I confess to you that a few months ago, God spoke to me about this, and I am actively engaged in making disciples. I want to make disciples. I want people to make a disciple of me. My prayer is that you would do the same. That if this pastor can make a renewed commitment saying, I want to be a true disciple maker, not just a fan of Jesus, not just a fan of God's ways, I want to be someone who invests that in others. My prayer is that you would do the same. So will you decide to follow him just like I am? Will you prayerfully consider who he would have you approach to disciple? Someone who doesn't know him that you can approach and say, can we just study God's word together? Nothing weird about that. Let's just talk about the truth and go through questions together. Someone you can pray with and for. Three or four people maybe of the same sex as you that are friends of yours that you can meet with in a way on a regular basis as adults and say, can we just share with one another, encourage one another, pray with one another, equip one another? I'm not talking about a Sunday school teacher and his class. I'm not talking about a pastor and his congregation. I'm talking about you and fellow disciples. Would you make that renewed commitment today? As you're praying, if God's laid on your heart someone to ask, but you don't know what their response will be, maybe you want to come get on your knees during this song and pray and just ask the Holy Spirit to go before you and prepare them. Maybe you're asking him to lead you to who it is you need to disciple. Maybe for you, you realize you desperately need to be discipled by someone, so you're praying that God will send the right person. Maybe God's calling you to unite with this church and you want to become an official member of this church because you want to be about reaching the nations one disciple at a time together. Lord, whatever you're saying, would you respond to the Lord in that way? If I can pray for you about something, I'll be right here. We're going to sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." Please let these words come from your heart to your lips to the Lord himself. Father God, please have your way among us as we sing this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.